Welcome to the Client Generation Podcast, a show where we interview some of the most successful people in real estate to help you understand how to generate leads, build a brand, and convert more clients in your business. I am really excited about my guest today. I've got Mr. David Dodge, who I've asked to come by and just share as much value as humanly possible. And if you get 2 seconds to scroll this man's Instagram feed, you know he's going to do just that. David, what's up, man? Thanks for coming by.
Hey, buddy. Thanks for having me, man.
Let's dive right into this. Fantastic. Who is David Dodge, man? What's your story? How'd you get to where you are today?
All right. So David Dodge is a real estate investor here in St. Louis, Missouri. That's where I live. That's where I do most of my investing. I am not a real estate agent. I am strictly an investor. I've been working on getting my real estate license for like 5 years. So it hasn't really worked out too good for me in terms of getting that license, but it's not necessarily needed if you are primarily an investor. I would recommend you get it, even though it's coming from somebody that doesn't have it, because it can help if you're new in terms of, you know, being able to run comps, list your own properties. There's lots of advantages to having it. However, I've always had a team of agents around me, so it's never necessarily been a necessity to me. So I am an investor. Like I stated, my market is St. Louis, Missouri, and I primarily focus on wholesaling properties, fixing and flipping properties, and last but not least, buying and holding properties. So I have my own podcast, Discount Property Investor, as well as I'm an author of The Ultimate Guide to Wholesaling Real Estate, which can be found on Amazon and Audible. And what we primarily do is we do a lot of marketing. Some of it is paid, some of it is unpaid, and we do our best to generate leads for motivated sellers. That is the name of the game. If you are new to real estate investing, finding a motivated seller is the most important thing when it comes to getting a good deal. So from there, once we find the motivated seller, we go out and we make them an offer on the property. We don't do anything virtual. Everything that my company, myself, my team does is local. We like to meet the homeowner, the seller, and, you know, make them an offer, walk the property, and give them a couple options. Those options are basically, A, we want to give you a cash offer. We want to buy this house. We want to make it easy. The name of our company is House Sold Easy, and we stand by that. We want to make it really, really easy for our customers. So what does that mean? Well, really what that means is that we trade convenience for a discount. And that's really it. It's that simple, guys. No reason to overcomplicate this. So A, the first thing that we do when we go out is we say, we want to be the buyer, okay? Here's what we're willing to pay. Now, we realize that this is going to be a discounted offer. You know, as investors, we don't pay retail. We have to get a discount on the property. However, in return for the discount that the seller owner will provide us, we will buy the property with cash, so there won't be contingencies on financing. We will have very limited inspections. Typically, me or my partners will do the inspections, or we may send over one of our contractors. It's very rare that we hire a company and give us a 75-page report. We just kind of walk through and do those on our own. And we can close fast. So cash as is and fast. So again, we are providing speed. We are providing liquidity. Another way to look at it is we are trading convenience for a discount. Now, I mentioned earlier, we don't pay retail. Okay, so option A that we give all of our leads that come in, and assuming that most of these are motivated sellers, is we want to buy it. Option B is if you don't like that offer, we get it. You know, we're not in the business of paying retail, but we can also help you sell that house with our traditional, you know, brokerage. So we have agents that we work with that we can help list. But our goal is not to get listings. That's not our goal. We have that tool in our belt. And again, I recommend that if you are new to real estate investing, you get your license so you can also have that tool in your belt. But our primary objective is to buy properties at a discount direct from the seller so we can again, provide convenience to them and get a discount for us. And then what we do with those properties after we buy those properties is what I stated earlier. We will either wholesale those properties for profit, we will buy clothes on them and fix them up and flip them on the retail market for a larger profit, or last but not least, we will fix that property up, rent it out, refinance it, and then repeat that process. So if you're not familiar with that, that's that we use the burst strategy to acquire our rental properties.
That is awesome, man. Thanks for going into detail on all the different strategies that you guys have. But I want to touch on something that you said, and something that's kind of the basis of the show, right? Marketing is the most important thing, and finding motivated sellers is really the art, kind of the secret art to investing. The person that can find the most motivated sellers wins the most deals, right? So tell me about it, man. How do you guys go about, you know, finding your best deals? What are some of your best strategies?
That's a great question. So we, at this point, you know, we've been in business for a little over 3 years. I've been doing this full time. And when I say doing this, real estate investing for about five. So at this point, we probably get about a quarter of our leads from referrals. You know, last year we bought almost 100 houses in 2019. I believe the number was somewhere around 96, 97. In 2018, we bought 98 houses. So we've been teetering with that 100 house a year purchase for the last 2 years. And because of that, we've kind of built a little bit of a name within our own marketplace for the guys that can close fast. Now, again, we don't pay retail. We're not the guys that can close fast on a $100,000 house that the seller's asking $100,000. You know, our offer is going to be $65,000. But if they are motivated, if there is a reason that they need to sell, big difference here, guys, if you are new to real estate investing, if somebody calls me and they want to sell, I say, okay, great. Well, I got a couple agents that I'd be happy to refer you to. I don't even really move forward all that much because the word that they chose is want. The people that I am looking for are those that need to sell. And I'm more than happy to educate people when they call and when the leads come in. Is that we do not pay retail. That is one of the first things I tell people whenever I answer the phone or when I call them back. Hey, I'm Dave. I'm with House Sold Easy. I appreciate you contacting me or filling out one of our forms. Just to be frank with you, though, I would be more than happy to help any way I can. However, if I am going to be the purchaser of this house, I need to get a deal on it. I don't pay retail. And I make that very clear. I even say it just like I said it to you, Grant, when I'm talking to a seller, because I want to set the precedent with them. I want to make it very known that I am here to help solve problems. I am not here to, you know, pad someone else's pockets. So if they want to sell their home, that's great. However, I don't need to buy. And I make that clear. So, you know, when I say I almost bought 100 houses in 2019 and another almost 100 in 2018, I didn't need to buy any of those, not a single one of those approximate 200 houses. Every one of those houses I bought because somebody else needed to sell, and it was a win-win scenario. Of course I got a deal. I'm the discount property investor. I don't pay retail. However, I solved a problem for these people for whatever reason that might be.
So I got two things here. First, how do you define motivation, if you could, just so that we can, because obviously there's a necessity to sell somebody in one of the greater retail markets we've been in a long time. How do you define motivation just real fast?
That's a great question. So motivation comes in many different shapes and sizes and so on and so forth. So to me, motivation is defined in a simple way, is somebody that needs to sell, not wants to sell. Now, if we were to break that down and get a little bit more granular, what does that look like? Well, it looks like somebody that's moving for a job. It looks like somebody that is going to prison. It looks like somebody that is getting a divorce. It looks like somebody that has a disease and, you know, needs money for medical bills and they're willing to downsize or sell their home to get that cash. It looks like somebody that is either having kids or their kids are leaving, right? So they need to upsize or they need to downsize. It looks like somebody that is selling their home because they're elderly and they're moving into a nursing home or moving in with their children. It looks like somebody that's a hoarder that is embarrassed to hire a real estate agent and show that property to multiple people for many, many weeks and or months. Okay, it looks like somebody that is looking for convenience. And again, that is really what I like to tell my students, teaching people about wholesaling and how to find motivated sellers and how to market to them. And that is that we are here to provide convenience to these people. Cash as is, quick. I mean, that is the simplest, in the simplest form, what I provide. That is my service to the marketplace. Now, by providing cash and buying as is and being able to close fast, those are the services. But at the end of the day, my goal is to solve a problem for these motivated sellers. So a lot of people that aren't familiar with wholesaling, they're not familiar with, you know, how we do our marketing and investing. They may have, in the beginning, most times, they may have a negative connotation about, you know, we're just trying to buy houses from people at pennies on the dollar. We are, you know, trying to steal these properties from people. And that is just truly not the case. Now, of course, there's scenarios where people will give us houses. It has happened. These houses are typically houses that you don't want, right? But what I'm trying to get to, the point that I'm trying to make here is, you know, anywhere between 20 and 50% of the time, when we go to a closing and we buy a property from a motivated seller, they know that they are leaving money on the table. They know they are giving us a property at a discount, but they don't care. Reason is because the problem isn't selling the property. The problem is something else. The solution is selling the property. So they can then take those proceeds to fix whatever else in their life is going haywire, okay? So a motivated seller really looks like two things. I mentioned a lot of scenarios or a lot of examples, you know, a couple minutes ago, but really a motivated seller is somebody that themselves is or are distressed. So they are distressed, or they own a property, maybe willingly or unwillingly, and a lot of times it's inherited, that the property is distressed. So when you come across a property that's distressed, typically, not always, but you would assume that the owner of that property is, you know, willing to sell it at a discount because they don't want to deal with it. They haven't fixed it up yet. Why would they go all of a sudden and fix it up next week? Other scenario is that they themselves are distressed. Death, divorce, disease are typically the three things that I like to mention that would cause somebody to be distressed. So the best deals in my business are the ones where the people are distressed, but so are the properties, because it makes it very easy for me to help them solve a problem.
One of the things I love about your message is you're talking about, what keeps coming to my mind is that you're talking about creating space for yourself with your authenticity, with your honesty in any conversation, in any bit of marketing. Hey, we are, discount property investors. We are not here to give you full price. We're here to get a deal on a property. And one of the things
that I make that very clear.
One of the things that most investors don't do is that they try to weasel their way into a conversation with somebody to, in my opinion, based on a lot of what I've heard, make people feel like they've kind of been bait and switched, where they've been baited into this potential, grand thing. And then, you know, the reality is they're getting what they feel like, quote unquote, screwed on whatever their property value might be. And so I love the honesty and the transparency. But one of the things that keeps coming to my mind, it sounds like you're just creating space so that everybody knows it. No, it's not a secret that when I say creating space, you're giving yourself the bandwidth to focus on the people that are ready to do it right now, because everybody knows. The only reason I'm coming to David is because I want to sell, want to sell fast. I know it's coming at a discount. I don't care. I need to move. Why is, the secondary question is, did you always do that and it just worked so well? Did you find out the honesty and the authenticity work, or did you get forced to do it?
That's a great question. So I'm going to answer that in a couple different ways, but that is actually a very good question that I don't get asked that often. And I feel like people discount, I like that word, of course, right? But people discount that when they really shouldn't, because a lot of people that I talk to, a lot of my students, they struggle with this until they can flip their mindset on this, right? So let's just take a minute and dive into this, if that's okay. Great question, by the way. Fantastic question. So when I first started doing real estate, I've been investing in real estate for 15 years, right? The first 10 was very passive. I was buying properties on the MLS. I was paying retail. I was basically getting an 80% loans and putting down 20%. So to me, it was more of a vehicle to store. It was a vehicle to invest, but also to store my cash in an asset. I was getting regular loans. Well, about 5 years ago, I decided, hey, I'm tired of having jobs and I'm pretty good at this, whole negotiating and finding these sellers. Let's jump in full time. And for the first, let's say 1 to 2 years, I didn't have the transparency approach. I was, oh, hey, I'm a cash buyer, which really meant I'm going to find an investor partner who's my cash buyer. And I'm going to do everything I can to get this deal sold. And a lot of times the deal would fall apart. People would get upset. And I don't know why, but I kind of had an epiphany about 3 years ago, give or take. And I just said, you know what? I'm going to just go in with the transparency approach. I'm going to tell people, hey, I am a cash buyer if I can get a really great deal. If the deal isn't great, but let's say it's good, well, then I am going to try to find another cash buyer in my marketplace to partner with. So I'd actually separate myself as being the cash buyer. Again, if it was great, then that's me. I'm all over it. If it's not the greatest deal, but let's say there's still some meat on the bone, I started to take the approach of, hey, I am not the cash buyer in this scenario unless you can come down, let's say, 20 grand. However, I know a ton of other investors that I partner with all the time. I'm going to go work and I'm going to get one of these guys to partner with me because, again, the deal's not great, but it's good, and we're going to get this done. And what started happening is people wouldn't get upset when I'd call them back in 2 or 3 weeks and say, hey, I am so incredibly sorry, but I can't find that person. I told you from the get-go that was my intention. So you really can't get too upset with me because I didn't mislead you. And I'm not saying I was misleading people in the beginning. I just had a different approach. Now I like to let people know every scenario in the beginning. So if you give me that great deal, and which often happens, often it starts at a good deal and we're shopping the property, trying to wholesale it. They get frustrated, not with me, but with their own situation. And they say, Dave, can you just buy this? We'll give you the discount. Boom, done. We'll close next week, right? And that's where the motivation comes in for me to get that good deal. But if I set it up with, listen, this is what we're going to do. We are going to try to partner with another investor or even find that other investor. You don't have to pay us. We're going to upsell them or charge them a fee, and we're going to get this done for you. And it doesn't happen. I have told them in the beginning that that's the goal. That's where we're trying to do with this. So again, by just being transparent, it helps these individuals understand what is actually happening behind the scenes. So I'm going off on a tangent on that. Let me just say one more thing real quick, Grant. I've done everything in my power to let all of my teach all of my students to have the same exact approach. And I'll tell you right now that almost every single one of them has success with this approach, or more success, I should say, than the approach of I am the cash buyer. Okay. Reason is because when you go into a situation and you're transparent and you tell people, I don't tell them that I'm going to be marketing that property and using the term wholesaling. I say, I'm going to go find an investor partner. If they ask, I'll tell them anything they want. If they ask the right question, they're going to get the right answer. So I'm not misleading. But I am letting them know that there is a possibility that it won't close, or that, that the inspection period may need some renegotiations or even extensions, because from the get-go, from the beginning, I make it clear to them that these are my intentions.
I think it's so key in marketing today, because you see that, there's this about, 5-6 years ago, there was this gigantic authentic shift that took place in marketing where, the perceptive nature of doing business kind of disappeared for a while, at least in some of the top producing companies. And they started to embrace this idea that if we're just honest with people, we'll probably get more business, which is good. That's a great shift to happen. But to see it take place in the investment space like you're doing is really a breath of fresh air, because so few investors do that. They're trying to just do anything that they can to get. Now, I'm not gonna overgeneralize investors. A lot of the top level wholesalers, and the reason I asked that question the way I asked it, I think that it was more than likely a function of I don't have time, so now I'm gonna be honest. Like, I'm just way too busy. Let's just start being honest with everybody because we don't have time to go look at all these maybe deals. So now we're gonna say we are discount buyer or discount buyers of properties, et cetera, et cetera. So my curiosity was, you know, how did you segue into just that truth and transparency? But it sounds like doing that, and then you're now leading more investors just to do it right off the bat, it really shortens that gap where they've created all this space for themselves. And now they can just focus on the people that, you know, that are ready to go right now. And so last question is, how do I get myself to that point? You know, from a marketing standpoint, I realize that's where I got to do most of my work. But if I'm creating all this space for myself to only focus on motivated sellers that are ready to go right now, how do I get to a point where I got an 8-hour day focused or communicating with those people? What action should I take? Give me the 1, 2, 3, man. I'm an investor. I'm ready to go.
David, that's another great question. All right. So discount proper. So we have two main businesses here, right? We have the acquisition business of my company, which is called House Sold Easy. So the discount property investor logo, the TV here, the podcast, that's not the company that we are actively marketing to our, you know, to our motivated sellers. It's House Sold Easy. The discount property investor brand that we have is the disposition side of the business. Okay. So we're not actually marketing to the marketplace that we are discount investors, discount property buyers. Because, you know, again, that doesn't have a good ring to it. So what we do is we market that we are House Sold Easy and we stand by that. So what we do and what you can do and what anybody listening can do is literally when you are on the phone with these people, just tell them your intentions. Okay. So when I am on the phone, this is my pitch, guys. You can copy this. You can share it. This is not a proprietary thing. This is just me having a conversation with another human. They call me up. They say, hey, Dave, I heard your radio advertisement. I got a letter in the mail from you. I was on Google and I came across your website, or I was, you know, I clicked on an AdWords or whatever it might be. Typically we do radio, mail, AdWords. And we do a couple other things as well, but those are the 80-20 principle. That's our 80% right there. So when they call and they get me, I answer and I say, hey, this is Dave with House Sold Easy. You know, how can I help you? And they'll say, hey, this is Grant Wise and I got this property. And I say, hey, Grant, that's great. How'd you get my information? How'd you get my number? Did you hear my radio ad? Because that particular ad is very, very directed towards, I want the house that is needing a lot of work. So I'm assuming this house needs a lot of work. If you are looking for a retail offer, we can help you with that. We have agents that come list your property. But, you know, as investors, we need to be able to buy this property and have enough meat on the bone after we pay for it to make a profit, right? So we are in business. And if you aren't familiar, the definition of business is simple. It's the act of making money. That's truly the definition of business, the act of making money. So when we buy a property, we have to be able to get it at a price that we can either sell it as is and make money on it, or get it at a price that we can fix it up and add value, but also make money on it. So if I can't buy this property and make money on it, then there's no incentive for me to provide you with convenience, right? So at the end of the day, and I'm getting off topic here, but at the end of the day, I am here to help solve a problem. If you want to sell, that isn't a problem. So I got an agent, Megan, Mike, whoever else in my office, that's more than happy to come out, meet you, get this property listed, and hopefully they can help you sell it. There's no guarantee that they're going to get you a certain price. There's no guarantee that it's going to go quick. You're going to have most likely inspections that are going to lead to seller concessions. You're going to have all these additional costs for, you know, holding and maybe maintenance, maybe fix up, maybe closing, you know, whatever those things might be. So again, not a bad strategy to go sell your property that way. But if you just want to sell, that's the route I'm going to try to push you to. And really, I'm going to try to help you. Never trying to, you know, push somebody to do something that they don't want to do. Here are your options, right? However, if you need to sell this next Wednesday, because you're going to jail for your 15th DWI next Thursday, guess what? I can help. I'm going to be able to, I want to provide you with that convenience. But in trade for me making this convenient for you, you got to give me a deal. There's no incentive for me to pay retail. Zero. So I make this very clear to people. I try not to be rude. I see how people can look and say, oh, you know, that can come off rude. Well, just slow down a little bit. Talk softly, make a friend with this person. But educate them on what your business is. Your business isn't buying houses for retail or even at a 10% discount. Typically, if I can't get a 20 to 25% discount on the phone verbally with somebody, I won't even set the appointment. And what we'll do is we'll add them to our CRM and we'll follow up with them. So my company does anywhere from, the number of wholesales has shrunk a little bit because we've started keeping a lot of these properties for our rental portfolio. But I'd say we do anywhere from 6 to 10 wholesales a month. Now, the average deal that we lock up with the contract and put on the website and start marketing to our buyers takes us 4 to 6 months from the initial contact to the time we get a contract. Why does it take 4 to 6 months, Dave? That's going to be the next question. Well, it's very simple. A lot of, you know, deals come in that we lock up day one all the time, right? But on average, people will call us because they want to sell. They don't need to sell. So what we do then is we educate them on their options. You know, we can give you an offer in this price range, or we can help you sell it via an agent. But there's no guarantees with the agent. It's long, it's lengthy, it's costly, and there's no guarantees. And what happens is people say, okay, you know, send an agent out, maybe, let's talk. Or, yeah, I was really just looking for a cash offer, but I wanted retail. They're tire kickers, right? So what we do is we follow up with these people every week, every other week, maybe once a month. Some people we even have on a yearly follow-up, right? And what we do is we contact them back and we say, hey, we're not trying to bother you. You had reached out to us, you know, a couple weeks, couple months ago. We just wanted to follow up to see if anything has changed. That's our message on our follow-up. Has anything changed to where all of a sudden you no longer want to sell, but you need to sell? Again, that's where I come in. So one of my buddies said this to me a couple years back, and it has just stuck. But he was so true. I never thought of it this way. But as a, now I'm talking about wholesaling, not investing here, but as a wholesaler, all we really do is provide liquidity to the marketplace. And I thought about that. I'm like, man, that is genius, because that is exactly what we do. I will buy any house in St. Louis, any house, for the right price. I don't need to buy any house, right? But for the right price, somebody can come to me and I will buy that house. I don't care if the thing's on fire, literally, when they call me. If I can get the right price for it, I will buy it. So again, I'm trading convenience for a discount. I'm providing liquidity to the marketplace, and I try to be as transparent as I possibly can on my intentions, which are, I can help you solve a problem. But if you call me and you don't have a problem, Grant, let's just say that you have a house that's worth 175 grand and the Zestimate is 175 grand and you're looking for 175 grand, guess what? I can help, maybe help you get that by listing it. But if you want me to be the buyer, which is what all my advertising and marketing says is, you know, we will buy your house cash as is quickly, we will. But not at 175. It's going to be a, you know, 100 to 125, 130, somewhere in that range.
So is all of your marketing and advertising really just basically whatever your core message is here, that, you know, your discount or home sold fast? Is it all really just radio, mailers, social? Is all of that really just around that we'll sell your home fast message, or we'll buy your home fast message, and that's what's getting the phone ringing?
Absolutely. Again, we don't want, so like, I'm glad you asked that, because there's a couple real estate agents in St. Louis, and they're good people, you know, nothing negative to say, but their message is, hey, call us, we'll list your home, and if we don't sell it, you know, via our traditional brokerage services, we'll buy it, okay? And you, there's lots of people nationwide, worldwide, that are using that marketing strategy. We'll list it, and if we don't sell it, we'll buy it. Well, guess what they do if they have to buy it? They pay 40 or 50 cents on the dollar. They don't want that home. They turn around and they list it at a big discount and they sell it that way. My message is the exact opposite. I don't want people calling me because they want to list properties. That's a tool in my belt, right? It's a service that I can provide to these people. Why throw those leads away? But the message is that I am here to buy houses and provide the convenience. I said this a couple times now. I want to make it easy for you, but I'm not doing it at a loss, and I'm most definitely not doing it at a break even, right? I have to buy this at a discount to be able to make a profit. So our message is we buy houses, we make it easy, and our company is House Sold Easy. So again, we stand by the fact that we make it easy.
That makes a lot of sense. I had a question that I was going to ask, because we got to wrap up here, but man, what was that question? That was a good one.
It's all good.
First of all, what was your message? Which you just answered that. Okay, yes. I'm coming to you, David, from bootstrap to success. What's step one for me in finding motivated sellers?
Yeah, I skipped that part. You're absolutely right. So what we do is we target those who we would assume. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, like, take me back to when you started and you had no money, no budget, and then you started getting some money. Like, what did you start with, or what would you tell somebody to start with today that didn't have any money to find these deals? And then what should they invest in first when they get some, and how should they grow that budget? So take me back to the good old days.
Perfect. I'm going to circle back to that real quick. But that's a great question. Our message is that we can provide convenience. But what we do is we target those that anybody, you know, that has half a brain would assume would have motivation. Not all these people that we're targeting have motivation to sell, but we are assuming that they do. So what does that look like? Well, it looks like the people that I mentioned earlier, death, divorce, disease. Also, the death, divorce, and disease are the distressed people. So you can also look for the distressed properties. What does a distressed property look like? It looks like a vacant house. It looks like an absentee owner. Again, they're not all distressed, but you would presume or assume that these properties could have that level of motivation. So vacants, high equity mixed with absentee owned, pre-foreclosures. We do a lot of driving for dollars, and we look for tall grass, big bushes, gutters falling off houses, boarded up windows. Okay, those would be some of the reasons why the property itself would be distressed. And again, you would presume motivation. So to circle back now to what you said, in the beginning, what I did was, and we still do, I did a lot of bandit signs. I put out a ton of bandit signs, not only in the bad areas, but in the good areas too, because typically the people that own the houses in the bad areas that don't live in them live in the good areas. So bandit signs can go anywhere and everywhere. So we did a lot of bandit signs. And in the beginning, I did a ton of cold calling. We still do cold calling, but I did a ton of it myself personally. So how do you do that? That's so simple. Go on Craigslist, go on Zillow, go on the Facebook Marketplace, and find people that have houses that they're looking to rent. Call them up and ask them if they have any desire or need to sell. Keyword there is need, right? And a lot of them are going to say no. But, you know, you make 200 or 300 phone calls, you're going to find somebody that's like, oh, yeah, I'm so happy you called. I'm actually just trying to rent it because, you know, it needs a lot of work. And I don't think that I would be able to sell it in its current condition. And you say, okay, well, you know, I like buying houses that need a lot of work. Can I come see it and make you an offer? So those would be the people that have them for rent. Or just the for sale by owners. Call those people up. You can cold call, you can cold text. And again, just ask that simple question. Hey, are you interested in a cash offer? You know, I don't typically pay retail. However, I'm cash, I buy it as is, and I can close really, really fast. And even if you can't close in a week or two, if you can close in a month, guys, in the big scheme of things, like in perspective, that is very fast compared to the traditional real estate realm. Okay, the traditional real estate realm, a property, let's start from the beginning just real quick. You want to sell, so you hire an agent. Well, they come out, they get information, they take pictures. That may take a week or two before they can even get the damn thing listed. Then they get it listed. You want it to sell quickly, but oftentimes it doesn't. It could sit for weeks, even months before you get an offer. Then when you get an offer, they get inspections, they have an appraisal, Long story short, the entire process takes 2 to 3 months, typically on the short end of the stick. It could take 6 months to a year, 2 years in some cases, right? So if you can close a deal in a month, that is extremely fast compared to the alternative. So don't think that you have to go in with the message, I can close next Tuesday, like mine is. I have a lot of experience. I have a lot of private lenders. I have the ability to do so. But when I first started, I didn't. So you don't necessarily have to think that saying that you can close in 2, 3, maybe even 4 weeks is long. That is extremely fast. So again, if you are starting out though, and you want to get involved in this business, you need to learn how to target motivated sellers. So that can look one of two ways. It can be a distressed person. It can be a distressed property. If you find both, then you typically have a deal. Because if somebody themselves is distressed and they own a property that's distressed and there's some equity in that property, you can trade them your convenience for a discount, which ultimately leads to you having a wholesale deal, a property you can fix up and sell for a profit, or a property that you can fix up and rent out, or sometimes you don't even need to fix it up, you can rent it right out. Okay? So there's lots of different ways that you can go about doing that. But again, if you are on a shoestring budget or, bootstrapping it, you don't have to have thousands of dollars a month to hire a radio station to throw ads out there on the radio. You don't have to have thousands of dollars a month to drop, tons and tons of postcard or direct mail. These strategies work, okay? So once you build up some money from doing some deals, I would highly recommend that you put those dollars into marketing. But if you don't have the money in the beginning, that's okay. There's two ways to do marketing. There's two different types of budgets. One is money. You can buy your marketing. The other is energy, okay? So if you don't have a big budget for marketing, then you need to create a budget of time. Well, what does that look like? An hour or two a day, 4 to 6 hours on the weekend, something. You have to dedicate and allocate time to do the marketing. So calling people on Craigslist or Facebook or Zillow doesn't cost you anything, unless you don't have an unlimited plan on your phone, but at 2020 you should, right? So you can call these people and just make a friend, ask them if they're willing to sell. It doesn't cost you anything. But once you start doing some deals and you get tired of cold calling like me, I hate cold calling, so I don't do it anymore. We have people on the team that do. But what I prefer to do instead is to get these people to call me. Okay, so it's hunting and fishing. You got a monetary budget, you have a time budget. Your monetary budget is fishing. Look at it like this. If I'm at a lake, right, and I'm sitting next to Grant, and Grant's got one fishing pole, okay, and I have 10,000 fishing poles, and I throw my fishing pole in the water, and it's got a bobber, and I put it in the ground, and then I go to the next one. An hour and a half goes by, I'm gonna have a few hundred lines in the water, he's gonna have one. Right? It's going to cost me money by sending letters or messages, my marketing message. But that's my monetary budget. The other way to go about it is having a time budget. And I refer to that as hunting. Okay. You don't need more than one gun to go hunting or knife or bow, whatever it might be. But it's going to take energy. You're going to have to get off your butt and get out in the woods and start, looking for that thing that you're going to hunt. In this scenario, that is a motivated seller. So you have to pick up the phone and make those calls.
Best analogy I've heard to differentiate paid media versus organic media. I really, really appreciate that. I'm going to use that. I'm going to give you credit. I'm going to try to get as many Instagram followers as I possibly can.
No problem, so, man. No problem.
David, thank you so much for coming by the show, man. This has been really, really, really helpful and insightful. I got some great takeaways and some cool things that I think that even I could implement. And I'm not an investor wholesaler, so this is hugely, hugely valuable. So I appreciate it, brother. What's the best way that we could pay you back, man? How can we connect with you? Do you have any products or services we can buy into? What's the scoop?
Yeah, just check me out on Instagram, guys. I'm always trying to teach and add value to people that are looking to learn how to buy properties at a discount, wholesale, rentals, fix and flip, you name it. I have a free course, but I'm not even going to plug that because I talk about it all the time on my Instagram. So yeah, check me out. My handle is David Allen Dodge, and my middle name is Alan. It's just my full name, David Allen Dodge. And Grant, I really appreciate you having me on. I appreciate your time. So thank you for having me.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Client Generation Podcast. Please make sure that you rate and review this episode so that we can continue to bring you more incredible guests to help you grow your business. Thanks and have an amazing day.